Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Disaster preparedness isn't a favorite dinner table conversation. However, it is a subject we need to understand and prepare ourselves in case the worst happens. A little planning now can prevent big problems later. We're going to discuss this and what we need to know and how to prepare. My guests are Madeline Flanagan and Sue Nestor, both representing the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America and Trusted Choice, which is a nonprofit organization. Madeline, Sue, it's so good to see you. This isn't a subject that we like to talk about, but we really need to. And you all have just done a recent study. Tell us about that.
We just released some new research that confirmed our suspicions. And our suspicions were that most people think, you know, they're pretty much ready for a disaster. But when you go ahead and ask a couple of tough questions, you find out that many, many people are not truly prepared. The one big headline that came out of this was that almost three quarters of homeowners told us they do not have a flood insurance policy. And we think the problem there is that most people think, well, I don't live on a floodplain. I don't live on the coast. I don't need it. But so often we find that flooding disasters happen in areas that are not immediately on the water. And you have no coverage for anything related to rising water in your home if you don't have a flood policy.
Madeline, you were telling me before we went on the air that you're working in something that in Louisiana, am I right?
Right, and in West Virginia.
Where
they've had tremendous floods, and we found most folks did not have flood insurance. They thought, you know, they were living in areas that had never seen a flood. But when you have 30 inches of rain in just a short amount of time, I think it was 7 hours in Louisiana, we saw these homes completely fill with water. I'm talking about 6 to 8 feet of water standing there for 2 to 3 days.
Total loss of everything they own.
Total loss. The foundation's there, but in most cases they have to take everything, all their furniture, everything is lost, and they have absolutely no coverage under their homeowner's policy.
And that is a true disaster. And we've been seeing a lot of this happening in flooded areas in West Virginia, you say, too, as well as in Louisiana. Now, why do people, they don't live in a flood zone, so they think that they shouldn't do it. But flood insurance, as I understand it, is not really that expensive, is it?
Well, I think that is one thing that people think, that it is expensive, because they've heard stories about people who live right on the coast.
Well, yeah, who live in really, yeah.
They're going to pay more. Mm-hmm. But I think if people took the time to investigate, they would find that in many areas, flood coverage is affordable. And when you think about the devastation that a flood can cause, it really provides good value. We've seen a lot of improvements and reforms in the flood insurance program in the last few years, and that is ongoing. And flood coverage for most people really is something that they absolutely should consider. Even if you think about the fact that in an area like this, where, you know, this spring and in this summer we have had quite a bit of rain, you don't need an absolutely devastating event to cause damage in your home. Just even seepage of water from ground that's saturated and that water comes into your home, that's not going to be covered in a flood insurance policy. I mean, with a homeowner's insurance policy, you would need a flood insurance policy.
So the flood insurance policy would cover. So now, see, I didn't realize that. It's we think of flooding as only the water rushing through the streets.
Massive. Right.
Right. But that's what you're saying is then, I mean, and that's happened to a lot of people, where their water comes into their basement and really creates huge problems, and that is due because of the heavy rains. So a flood insurance policy would cover that.
Correct. Your homeowner's insurance is not going to play
not
a role.
I understand that.
Correct.
Right.
So
right.
You would need flood coverage. That's a separate policy. It's not part of your homeowner's policy.
Okay.
And something people need to consider, over the last few years, they've remapped a lot of areas of the United States, the National Flood Insurance Program has. And you may be now sitting in a floodplain, so it's time to check. What concerns me is that if you have a mortgage, you're required to have flood insurance if you live in a floodplain. Unless you're in an X zone, which is no flood, you're required to have it. And why the mortgage companies aren't going back and looking at these things and saying, hey, you've been remapped into a floodplain, you need to buy this coverage.
So actually what we're seeing then is that the floodplain areas are increasing in size.
They are in many areas. And it's time for, you know, I urge all homeowners to really talk with your agent, Go down to the county planning office. Take a look at the new flood maps and see where your home lies now.
And, you know, you may buy a new home and not be aware of it. So you need to, that's one of the things you need to ask. That's a very good question.
Right. And unless you live near the beach, the realtors don't tell you this information. It's really on you to go find out.
To go find out. Find out from your insurance agent. And
that's why it is important to have a good relationship with an agent. You know, if you work with an independent agent, someone that you can be in touch with regularly and you can pick up the phone and ask these types of questions, that's always going to help you.
Who do you all represent? Let's tell our audience a little bit about what the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America is all about and the Trusted Choice. And I know you're a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed you all a number of times. You always give us great information. But I don't think we ever really talk about your association.
We're the oldest and largest trade association of insurance agents in the United States. We founded in 1896. We have 28,000 member agencies across the United States that represent about 300,000 individuals working within those agencies. And they represent many major insurance companies. They always represent more than one insurance company for both personal and commercial insurance. And so they're there to help you. These are professionals. They have to be licensed in the state where they're doing business. Many are licensed in multiple states. And we help them with education, legal advocacy, federal government advocacy. We help them with all those things. But we also help them help consumers.
I see. Now, so the difference would be if I go to a big insurance company, and I'm not slamming anybody. I'm just trying to define. Right. So they would represent one company and one company's policies. But if we go to you all, to Trusted Choice agents, then they're going to look at a lot of different plans in terms of what I need.
Trusted Choice independent insurance agents work for themselves. They don't work for any one company.
I see.
And they have
okay.
access to policies from any number of companies. So they can essentially do the shopping for you and compare policies from a number of companies.
I see. Okay. Good. And you're a nonprofit. You do good work.
Correct.
And I know you do a
Thank
lot
you.
Of consumer education.
We sure do.
Which is very important. Okay. So back to this whole business of preparedness. Nobody likes to think about it. But what's interesting to me, Madeline, is that you're mentioning that the flood zone, they have been increased, that we are seeing an increase. Is that because of development or do we have any idea why?
I think it has a lot to do with new development around the country, especially a lot of new subdivisions being built in areas where they've never been before. But I think they're also just taking a look. You know, climate's changing. I'm not supposed to say that, I know, but things are changing. And in areas where there has never seen a flood before, they're beginning to see water rising. So they're taking a re-look at. They hadn't looked at them since the 1950s.
So it was about time.
It was about time.
So this would be the FEMA? Did FEMA do this?
The National Flood Insurance Program, which is
part of FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, look, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests today are Madeline Flanagan and Sue Nestor, and they're both with the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and their agent names Trusted Choice. So it's a nonprofit organization that does some great research and surveys and things for us. Okay, now let's go back and talk about what some of the things that you need to consider when you're buying an insurance policy other than just a flood policy. And that has to do with whether or not you're going to replace something or it's going to give you market value. Explain that to me.
I was just going to say, this is another big headline from this survey that we just released. What we found out is that 40% of policyholders, homeowners policyholders, don't really know what type of coverage they have, whether they have they don't know or they don't have the coverage that is going to give them full replacement value. There are two types of coverage for your homeowners policy. You can have actual cash value, which is going to replace at the depreciated.
So if I were to sell it let's say I have something and I put it on the market to sell it. That would be the cash value of what I could sell it for.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or I always think about it this way. If you've got a huge, giant, you know, TV screen in your house and a flood happens and there it goes.
They're not going to sell that for much.
If you have replacement cost coverage, you can go to a store and get the exact TV to replace the one you lost. Mm-hmm. If you have actual cash value coverage, that's going to be replacing a used TV. Maybe it's 3 or 4 years old, and that's going to take depreciation account. What we found out with our survey was that 40% of people either don't have or don't know if they have replacement cost coverage. And they're in for a surprise if they have a major disaster, if they don't know what kind of coverage they have. I have a relative who learned the hard way with a devastating fire to her home.
Ooh.
And found out later on that she had actual cash value coverage in her home and wasn't able to get, you know, fully made whole because
right.
she didn't have that
Now,
coverage.
If you have things like antiques and stuff like that, then would you have to have a special rider
yes.
on the policy, Madeline?
Absolutely. You would have to have something special to sort of give an appraised value of each of those items and make sure they're scheduled on your policy so we mm-hmm. know what you have.
Personal jewelry as well and whatever?
Yeah, jewelry, furs, guns, marketable
Art.
Securities.
Art. Collectibles, mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
So you need to get someone to appraise them, give you a value, put that in a safe place somewhere, not in your house.
Right. And back to that safe place, that's the most important thing that we're seeing is a lot of folks don't have a safe place. They don't have a place where they have their insurance cards, their health insurance information, their home inventories. Mm-hmm. I always say put that in a little safe, a little go box. And if you have something happen, grab that box and go.
And go, yeah.
Because it's going to be the one thing that's going to help get you back on your feet again.
Yeah. Well, the cost emotionally as well as financially can be devastating when something like this happens. So, yeah, I guess anything that you can do to be organized for it will help you.
And you're right. The emotions really come into play here. Think about if you have a major disaster to your home and you've lost everything or close to everything, and now suddenly and immediately you need to sit down and tell your agent or your insurance company what you had. And it's such an emotional time, and you don't have your head together, and that's perfectly natural. And so it is so important to have a good, complete, up-to-date home inventory of everything you've got. And what we found out with our research is less than a third of homeowners have one and have
I'm
it
guilty
stored
of that.
In a completely
off-site
location.
I've made lists over the years, but it hasn't been updated in a while.
No. And now with video cameras, it's so easy.
Just go through and
walk through. Or your cell phone. Narrate.
Or your cell phone apps that do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's really, you know, no excuse, and you need to update it, and you need to keep it off-premises. So if the disaster happens, you've got a copy of that you can just go to.
Mm-hmm.
So at a time when you are emotional and upset and you've got a million other things to worry about, that is in place and ready to go. And
well, you can send it to your computer if you have a server that's off-site.
Sure.
So it'll be there for you.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Who doesn't carry their phone in their pocket? I mean, there's little online wallets now where you can have everything right there that you can.
Sure.
You're going to have your phone if you walk out of the house.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's really no excuse right now to not know exactly what you have and how to get to it.
Yeah, you need to make a list. You need to know the values. Probably having a video that's backed up by some yeah. written information and appraisals if necessary and whatnot.
A lot of times now you can get your sales receipt. Let's say you're at Best Buy. I get my sales receipts in an email.
Emailed, right.
So
mm-hmm.
They're emailed to me, so I know what I paid for that television. I know what I
so
paid for
So you've got
that.
A record.
I've got a record of it.
Right, yeah. Well, it certainly makes sense, and when we've been seeing so many things happening recently I guess always been going on, but, you know, in the age of television, you're more aware mm-hmm. of all the natural disasters that are taking place, so it makes it a little bit different. All right, now, what are some of the other things that we need to consider when we're talking about our insurance and whether or not we've got coverage?
Well, one other big area I think that is often overlooked, and I know I've talked about it with you before, but that's renter's coverage. And, you know, we've seen it here recently in the Washington area with that big explosion that happened in the apartment building. So many people do not have renter's coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that they don't think about because they're not a homeowner. Or they feel, well, I'm in a big, huge apartment building, and certainly my management company or my landlord has coverage, so I'm good. But you're not good, because that's not going to take care of your own personal possessions. Renter's coverage is affordable, and it's easy to get, and it protects your stuff. If a fire or an explosion or anything happens to the building, apartment building that you live in, your stuff is not covered.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your property manager and your landlord have all the coverage in the world, that's not going to take care of your possessions. People who live in a small apartment, they say, I don't have much. But if you think about it and start adding those things up, you got more than you think you've got.
Yep.
And renter's coverage is a really good value.
Well, especially if you lose it.
And renter's coverage also gives you some liability coverage. A lot of renters today have pets. Say you're out walking your dog and it bites the neighbor. Or you have somebody
naughty dog.
Naughty dog. Or you have someone a party in your apartment and someone gets hurt. They slip and fall. Renters Insurance is going to provide you that liability coverage to help those folks out.
Yeah, we've talked about the importance if you're hosting a gathering, mm-hmm. what your liability is. You've got to be careful there.
But society
now where everybody sues everybody else. I mean, it's terrible.
Right. We say the renter's policy is worth the money just to get the liability coverage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does give you that great level of property protection, too. And you are not prepared for disaster if you are a renter without a renter's policy.
Well, now, let's just take a – this happened to friends of mine. They lived in an apartment. They owned it. It was a condo. And they had a water seepage from upstairs. And I was never clear as to whether their insurance or the building's insurance covered that. Who should cover it?
In a condo policy, typically the condo owners, the association's policy would cover that. The stuff that might be damaged in your apartment is going to be paid by you or by your insurance. But that damage from that building, the replacement of the
building,
ceiling.
The ceiling and the painting and all of that. But if you got your rugs that are damaged or whatever.
Right. You're going to have that covered under your insurance.
Okay. See, that's okay. Mm-hmm. So that's just like being a homeowner. But it would be the same thing then for a renter. If the apartment upstairs, and this happens all more frequently than people would like. Mm-hmm. So anyway, right. Well, listen, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Madeline Flanagan and Sue Nestor. They're both representatives of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America and Trusted Choice, which is a nonprofit organization. Now, in thinking about all of these things, so we're putting the flood damage, but now going back to the question of the rain, and one of the things that I saw happen in my neighborhood, and I was just another 50, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, I would have been hit by a tree that fell over. Wasn't in the wind. It was because it was a pine tree, which has a very shallow root system to begin with. And it literally toppled over the road. Fortunately, I could get by. It was still not, but on my side of the road. If I hadn't have seen that and stopped, I'd have a tree sitting on top of my car. And that would be covered if you did damage to your house or something like that. Flood insurance would take care of that, not homeowners? Or I'm always a little murky.
And these are very confusing questions sometimes. If the tree has fallen over only because the ground became so saturated that the root system and structure, mm-hmm. you know, sort of came out of the ground,
right.
then that's a flood issue. And your homeowner's policy is not going to cover that. If the huge limb from a tree came off because of wind and a windstorm, that's a whole other thing, and you can get coverage from your homeowner's policy.
Now, what do you have? You have all this information up on your website. How do people go find it?
You can go to the Independent Insurance Agents Facebook page. We have the survey results and nice little infographic digestible bites if you want, or you can click and get the bigger numbers.
The figures behind them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, behind it. Okay. Now, also things like blocked water main into your house. We had this happen to us. We had a tree root, I think, that blocked the water or the sewer. And it was a mess. And I think we had to pay for it.
You did. It would not be. It's a flood incident.
That's a flood incident. And see, we didn't have flood insurance.
In fact, I remember one insured I had many years ago. It was one of the worst stories ever. They went on vacation and the sewer backed up into their home, 4 feet into their basement. And it was there for a week and it wasn't covered.
Oh, my gosh.
I would have just burned it to the ground.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that is
my
an
gracious.
Ugly situation.
But that is, those are things that is something that rises from below the ground and it comes into your home.
Now, leaky roofs. Where does that come in? The water damage from a leak.
You could have coverage if it comes in through the eaves and things like that. And you can, in certain areas, buy something that's called backup through sewers and drains. Mm-hmm. There are some areas of the country, like I think D.C. is an area that does allow you to purchase that coverage because you're on a city water program. But if you live out in a rural area, that's not going to be
It's
you can
not going to be
for.
The value to you. You need to get the flood insurance to cover any damage that might occur.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So the leaky roof would probably be covered under your homeowners.
Yes.
Rather than flood insurance.
Particularly if there was a wind event associated
with
your roof coming off.
Um, potholes. Does your damage from that? And they can be created by floods.
Correct.
And but is that normally covered under your car insurance?
Typically under your comprehensive coverage, their coverage for potholes, because you've come in contact with an object and damaged your car. But if you don't have comprehensive or collision, you just have liability only.
You're not going to get it, right? I mean, we've seen these sinkholes in Florida that were caused by water damage and whatnot. Really horrendous. All right, what have I missed?
One of the things I wanted to bring up is a lot of people don't know, this is a good thing, that under your homeowner's policy, you typically have coverage for additional living expenses. So if you have to move out of your home and live somewhere else, you typically are going to have 10% of your home value that you can use during the time that you have to
really?
Live. Right. But it's expenses over and above your normal living expenses. So you're going to still have to pay your mortgage. You're going to have to still buy your groceries.
Right.
But let's just say you also got to rent an apartment.
Yes.
That's coverage that you have. So really talk to your agent about things like that. Know every little thing that's in your policy so you can take advantage of
it. You may be missing it if you don't know about it, right?
If you don't make a claim for it, they're not going to suggest it to you.
Oh, come on. You all would suggest it to me.
Well, one of the things that we found with our recent survey on the disaster preparedness was that 28% of people that we asked said they don't even have enough savings to support their household for a month if they had to move out. So that's where you want that coverage, and that's going to kick in and help you.
That's where you really need it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a fairly large percentage of people that are living very close to the bone and don't have, you know, anything.
So now what would you expect from your flood insurance coverage? If your house is destroyed, is it going to help you to live?
It's going to help you rebuild.
Right.
The additional living expense does not come into play with a flood insurance policy, but it's going to help you rebuild and replace your contents.
Okay.
That's only for homeowners that you have that additional living expenses coverage. A flood policy does not allow for that. So that's where you've got to be sure you've got some savings on hand, because if your claim is a flood claim, you need to be able to live off your property. And if, you know, what we're finding is you got 28% of the people out there saying couldn't even make it for a month. That's very scary. Only a third said that they could support their households for around 3 months in that circumstance. So the people
because
don't have
of
a
the
lot
additional
of
expense, and you, oh my God, it is heartbreaking when it happens, and it would be even worse if you just can't exist after this.
Right.
I mean, I suppose there's natural disaster relief, but that may not be forthcoming immediately, and you can't count on it.
Right, and the application process can be cumbersome.
Right, so you've got to live
lengthy.
In the meantime.
Sure.
Right.
And they only have so many adjusters. FEMA can only send so many people out to a certain area to work with these homeowners. I mean, they're on waiting lists for weeks and weeks to get some
help. Well, I'm sure you all hear some horror stories of the things that happen from floods and natural
disasters. No, we do. And it's even if you get someone out to assess your property, usually you have a hard time getting a contractor quickly in an area that has experienced a huge disaster because those workers can't keep up with
with the demand. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, we saw work in some of the floods and areas, the disaster areas, you've seen people from other regions coming in to help the people who've had losses.
Absolutely.
And build. And
No, you've got to be prepared to live off your premises for quite some time. And if you don't have savings to support yourself in that situation, you really may run into trouble.
And even though the likelihood that it may happen to you may not be great, if it does,
it's absolutely devastating.
That's devastating. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for bringing us interesting information that can be useful. We've been talking with Madeline Flanagan and Sue Nestor, who are with the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America and Trusted Choice, which is their brand name for their agents, I believe. They're a nonprofit organization that does a lot of consumer education. You have been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.